Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Day I Stopped Falling for Jerks by Max Monroe, narrated by Charlotte North. Intro. The Day I Stopped Falling for Jerks podcast. Episode 1. Is this thing on? Hi, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to episode 1 of my very first podcast. I'm a little nervous, so please bear with me as I try to figure out how to podcast. See, I'm more of a writer of words than a podcaster of words, but what I'm about to tell you is honestly too damn big to fit into one of my columns. Way too big. It's a real doozy, guys, but I have to get it out. And I'm hoping, once I finish recording this, since my boss says I might start feeling symptomatic of, say, poisoning if I ruin this new venture, I'll actually be able to upload it to Scoop's website. Apparently, I'm told podcasting is the wave of the future, and if we, meaning Scoop, don't get our foot in the door first, we, meaning I, might as well find another room. Room, meaning office. I'm pretty sure she'll fire me, okay? Still, I figure pouring my guts out to a bunch of strangers has to be at least close to therapeutic. So consider my fingers and toes crossed that my technical inability doesn't mean it's for nothing. Mumble from producer. Oh, good. I'm told the uploading portion of this podcast will be taken care of by someone else. Smart move, guys. Okay, so where do I even begin? Well, I guess my love life would be a good start, huh? I mean, it's the whole reason I'm here, ready to pour my heart out to you. The past, the present, the future, as I've sworn and promised it to myself, they're all kind of a hot mess. But it's really the chaos I've gotten myself into this time that made me decide to take action. Think of a woman trying to stand up in a hammock during an earthquake and then throw in a writhing pit of cobras dancing below it for good measure. Add in the task of juggling several oddly shaped objects and a horrible lack of hand-eye coordination, and you might have some idea of what I look like while trying to navigate lust, like, and love. Relationships, dating, finding love. God, you guys, it is so hard. I envy those people who manage to find the love of their lives on a first date, or even more mind-blowing, a chance encounter a la love at first sight that blossoms into a long-term courtship. Like, how in the hell does that even happen? It feels like some trippy, magical unicorn kind of shit, or worse yet, an evil consecration for those with a special dark gift. And I'm not exactly comfortable exploring how many pagan gods I'd have to promise ill-willed deeds to in order to experience the easy road to love. Hell, even the hard road. As long as it didn't end in disaster, I'd be ahead of where I am now. Where I always seem to be. See, I've been a serial dater, a constant cultivator of bad relationships for as long as I can remember. Even my kindergarten boyfriend, Kenny, is a prime example of what I've come to know as normal. He was a swoony little bastard, even at the ripe age of nearly 6, and I was a naive 5-year-old, hungry for pure love. We were happy for about a day and a half, but when another skirt wielder, Amber Carter, ran by, the apparent love of his life, Kenny's description of me, wasn't the only twinkle in his mossy green eyes anymore. One push off the monkey bars, and my first official relationship promptly ended in what would be one of many breakups for me. Think of all the very worst guys to date. The players, the weirdos, the clingy mama's boys, and the jerks. Good God. Picture the jerks. Do you have those men in your head? Well, I, Luciana, Lucky, Wright, have dated them all. It might sound like an exaggeration, but it's not. I've been there, done that, written the book, and filmed the Lifetime movie. And all those good-for-nothing men left me with were weeks filled with Netflix binges fueled by ice cream and the same damn question rolling through my mind. Where are all the good men? You know, the men who are actually worthy of us? The men who know what they want and have good intentions to boot? The ones who know how to truly love a woman, one woman, for the rest of their lives? Are they underground somewhere? In one of those highly discriminatory bunkers from the movie Deep Impact, perhaps? Do I actually have to discover the meaning of life to get the password? I honestly don't know. But I believe, in order for you to truly understand my frustration, I need to show you the final straw in my never-ending cycle of dating jerks. The moment that made me say, sayonara, jerks, and write those fuckers off for good. It's going to feel like some serious Romeo and Juliet kind of shit, but I can tell you, a Shakespearean love story, it is not. Keep listening. You'll see. Chapter 1. When I zig, love zags. When I stand up, love sits down. And when I fall, that little bitch puts a boot in my ribs, lest I get comfortable while prone for even a second. Love and I are not on the same page, not even in the same book. But as much as I've gone through on my journey to stumble upon some glass slippers and Prince Charming, it's taken me a little longer to link all the trouble together. To link it, quite frankly, to me. So let's go back a few months to May 30th, to the exact point in time when I started to realize just how big of a problem I have with love. A big, fat fuck. Whoops. Am I allowed to curse in these things? Muffled response from producer. Okay, well, I'm not sure of the actual rules, so I'll just go ahead and apologize in advance. There's no way in hell I'm going to get through this story, my story, without dropping some F-bombs. I suggest you consider your listening carefully if you're particularly sensitive to language. I mean, I don't plan to be an absolute heathen, but really, you'll see. An expletive or two will be highly necessary for the telling of this tale. Okay, so where was I? Oh, yeah, May 30th, that's right. I'd driven to JFK Airport that day with a heavy heart and a head filled with doubt and uncertainty. Goodbyes have never been my strong suit, but goodbyes amidst horns honking, airport security yelling, and the stench of sweat and gas fumes are markedly worse. Sure, in the movies, the swoony goodbye on the sidewalk of a bustling airport is a picture-perfect representation of how two people can seem like the only people in the world, even among a crowd. But JFK, on its best day, will never be the best setting for real-life romance. Sounds of luggage wheels scraping across the concrete, spit, dirt, and grime on the sidewalk. It's not exactly a regulation bed of roses, guys. Summer hadn't even officially started, yet it felt like we were right in the middle of it. A record-long heatwave by May's standards appeared to be running full steam ahead without any sort of reprieve in sight. It was one of those days where if I'd managed to keep my makeup from melting off my face, it would have been a God-ordained miracle. Spoiler alert, I didn't. But the need for a quality setting spray is absolute peanuts compared to the way I would need Jesus to keep me from committing one of the cardinal sins when the rest of the shit with Tiago played out. Yeah, you'll see. Anyway, the early summer sun was glaring. Real, steal your vision and make spots dance the nutcracker behind your eyes kind of shit. So by the time I stopped squinting and made it outside, I was just in time to see Tiago lifting his suitcase out of my car. My heart clenched at the sight of it all. As I've established, I hate goodbyes. But this goodbye, well, it felt way too permanent. For the first time ever, I was ending a relationship on good terms, and for all intents and purposes, before I was ready. This was it. Most likely the last time I'd see him. Sure, we'd only been dating for 6 or so months, but I'd really grown to enjoy and even anticipate his companionship. And now I'd be back to square one, back on the dreaded dating scene. He wheeled his cracked dark leather suitcase a few feet from my white Honda Civic and lifted it up onto the sidewalk, and when his dark, nearly black-brown eyes met mine, I had the urge to cry.
"So I guess this is it," he asked,
and I hated the way that Brazilian accent of his caressed my skin. It had the power to make my knees weak and my heart race and my damn panties disappear into thin air. Combine it with those endless eyes and that sexy smile, and I was a goner. A woman with a complete lust-induced brain malfunction. "Yeah," I shrugged and glanced down at my feet when my voice clogged with discomfort. "I guess this is it."
"I'm going to miss you, Luciana Wright," he whispered, and my full name rolled off his tongue like he actually loved saying it.
"I'm going to miss you too," I whispered back. "Call me when you make it to Brazil, okay?" He smiled, I swooned. It was a regular romantic drama playing out before hundreds of New Yorkers' eyes.
"You don't even have to ask. Yours will be the first call I make, Gachinha."
Gachinha. Tiago's Portuguese term of endearment for me meant kitty or kitten, or something revolving around cats. Honestly, I wasn't sure what it stood for. In fact, I'm still not. But it sounded good leaving his lips, and that was all the moony, pathetic version of me cared about. "Have a safe flight, okay?"
"I will," he said,
and stepped forward until our chests were mere inches from one another.
"Lucky,"
he whispered, and his mint-scented breath brushed across my cheeks.
"Before I go, I need to do one last thing.
I quirked a brow, but he didn't give me time to ask. Within the blink of an eye, he wrapped his arms around me, pulled me tight to his chest, and leaned down to place his lips against mine. A little moan left my throat when he slipped his tongue inside my mouth and kissed me in the way only Tiago could. Good God, the man could kiss. In fact, I often wondered if it was his sexual prowess that attracted me to him the most. I'll probably never really know, but thinking back on the kissing as a measure of research is always worth it either way. It's worth reiterating. The kissing was good. So, he kissed me until my knees felt wobbly and my arms and legs turned to pliant jelly goo. And when he pulled away, a despondent sigh got caught in my lungs.
Yeah, he nipped at my swollen lips. I'm going to miss this.
I was completely and utterly kiss drunk, but I managed to whisper back, "Me too." One more soft, tender press to my mouth, and he pulled away for good.
"Goodbye, Luciana," he said,
and stepped up onto the sidewalk platform of JFK's departure entrance. "Bye, Tiago." He wrapped his knuckles around the handle of his suitcase, and after one last fleeting glance in my direction, he was gone, through the automatic entrance doors and into the terminal. I know, at this point, you're probably feeling confusion. A sexy Brazilian photographer with dark brown eyes and cute terms of endearment and mastery-level kissing, and yet, we were saying goodbye forever? How did it all go wrong? Well, if I were you, I'd hold back on your Tiago love because there's still a hell of a lot more to this story. And it starts with a girl date to Yankee Stadium. Chapter 2. 2 days after Tiago left, I found myself stuck inside Yankee Stadium with the same old angry sun pelting my skin thanks to my ride or die, Allie Wilson. Nay, arson. I don't know about you, but I have a feeling the sun is the biggest scorned woman of all. She's hot and temperamental, and fuck all if you try to look at her directly without permission. I don't know, maybe she's just another love-lost wanderer trying to figure out the trick to it all, but her attitude is spicy. Kind of like Allie. She's the best gal pal a girl could hope for, but I often find myself suffering in her company. See, thanks to the agreement we swore in blood, don't worry, it was actually red wine we convinced ourselves was blood while drunk one night, we're both required to tag along any time one of us has field research to do for our jobs at a popular website named Scoop. Allie's articles are all sports and booze. Clearly, she's just one of the guys, while mine are usually about fashion, love, and dating. I know jack shit about baseball. Or anything sports-related for that matter. But I was there for my best friend. She needed moral support while she did reconnaissance for a New York Yankees-themed article, and I, in the name of friendship, was sweating my metaphorical balls off.
"Stay hydrated, Yankees fans," the announcer boomed through the stadium speakers as the game headed into another inning.
The 1,000,000th inning, if I remember correctly.
"It's already 90 degrees, and with only sunshine in the forecast, it looks like we're still in the middle of our sweltering early summer heat wave."
His words resonated with my overheated body, and dreaded boob sweat acquired at a staggering pace, threatening to permeate my bra and tank top. Trust me, it was Girls Gone Wild, body odor edition. "Over 90 degrees and rising," I muttered, and glanced over at my content companion. She sat perfectly relaxed in her seat, apparently not suffering from the early effects of heat stroke like me. "Yeah, that sounds like the perfect day to go to a Yankees game and slowly watch your skin melt off." Allie's green eyes met mine. I'm sure if my vision hadn't been drowning in salty sweat, I would have seen the compassion. I know, it's a little hot today." "A little hot? Satan turns on the AC when hell gets this hot." "Don't be so dramatic, Lucky." She laughed and rolled her eyes at the same time. "If my memory serves me right, last week I attended that god-awful speed dating extravaganza with you, and I'm still dealing with phone calls and text backlash. Not to mention my husband isn't too keen on random men calling me." I grimaced. She had a bit of a point, not that I admitted it to her. We're close enough that my silence was all the confirmation she needed. She hummed her victory and forced her long blonde locks into a messy bun. My hair was the least of my concerns at that point in our day. It was already up, and it was beyond a frizzy mess. My skin, on the other hand, well, it needed my full attention. Where Allie is blonde with tanned skin and a badass Aussie accent, I'm a native Long Islander with freckles, wavy red hair, and a skin tone that rivals Casper. Come to think of it, it's no wonder I care enough about my relationship with the sun to go off on a weird tangent about her need for anger management. I grabbed my sunscreen out of my purse, and my best friend giggled when I squirted a healthy dollop into my hands. What? I asked, smearing the white cream across both of my arms and shoulders. Her face said it all, and I rolled my eyes. Don't mock the pale-skinned girl. Sunscreen is such a foreign concept to Allie, she probably doesn't even know what SPF stands for. Not all of us are tanned goddesses, you know. Like, you should talk. The guys at work call you Christina Hendricks because you could literally be her doppelganger. Trust me, honey, you may not be tan, but you got nothing but goddess vibes coming off you. Christina Hendricks, my ass. I rolled my eyes and slid the bottle of sunscreen back into my purse. I'm certain she has an easier time with men than I do. Side note, I'm not sure if you know this, but Christina Hendricks is a famous Hollywood actress. A total bombshell by beauty's standards. I, however, have nothing in common with her besides red hair and porcelain skin. Muffled interjection from producer. Ha! Well, thanks, but I don't see it. Anyway, Allie's eyes turned serious at my words, and she reached out to put a gentle hand to mine. How are you doing, by the way? And just like that, it was time. Time to fill the masculine stadium space with a load of hormonal garbage. If her words were a dart, she would have hit a bullseye right between Tiago's eyes. I'm okay, I shrugged. I mean, it's not like it's my first breakup, and Lord knows with my track record, it definitely won't be my last. She frowned at my words. Don't say that, Lucky. You'll find someone. The right someone. I'm sure of it. Let's face it, this is the typical line that every person in a stable, committed relationship says to their single friend. Of course they mean no harm, but when you've been through as many failed relationships as I have, it starts to sound a lot like a broken record. Hideous scratching and all. Obviously, I love Allie to death, but she hasn't been single for years, and all of the happily married vibes were clearly clouding her judgment. My future with relationships looked pretty damn grim from where I sat. Still, I refused to drown her in my pessimism. Just because misery loves company doesn't mean you should call ahead to the restaurant and make a damn reservation. Did you see a future with Tiago? She asked. Honestly, I'm not sure. I wasn't sure about the future, but I knew my breakup with Tiago felt harder than all the ones before. I'd really liked him, and at one point I'd even allowed myself the faux pas of picturing little Brazilian babies somewhere in the distant future. I mean, it was a really far-off future. But every woman knows, once you open the latch on Pandora's box of future planning, time morphs into a vacuum. Nevertheless, he was a freelance photographer who traveled a lot and decided to move his home base back to Brazil. It was easier to cut ties before attempting to make an impossible long-distance relationship work. Whether I'd started the proverbial journey into the pool of love or not didn't matter. He'd made his decision, and I'd done too good of a job at pretending to support it. Did you like him more than Josh? Allie asked with a little smirk, and I rolled my eyes. Yeah, I said with a snort. Josh was a total dick. And what about Ronnie and Mac? Was Tiago higher up on the boyfriend list than those two? Yeah. How about we not reminisce on all of my ex-boyfriends? She smirked. You know what I think you need to do? What? Stop falling for jerks! Da-dun-da-da! And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The magic words. Stop falling for jerks. I knew she was right, and I still know she's right, but sometimes it's way easier to avoid the truth than face the painful facts head on. If only I were better at confrontation, maybe I would have been able to spare you all from this podcast. Ha! Tiago wasn't a jerk, I retorted. The rest of them? Yeah, you're definitely right. But Tiago was different. I think if he'd hung out for a couple more months, you would have found he wasn't boyfriend material either. I mean, if you really felt like he was the one, don't you think you would have at least tried to make the long-distance relationship thing work? I didn't have the words to respond, nor did I want to find the words to respond. So I did what I do best and ignored the question entirely. What time is our meeting with Vanessa today? I asked instead. Allie's lips curled up into a knowing smile. Okay, I'll raise the white flag. For now. She gave in with a wink. And we have to be back at the offices by 4. I checked the time on my phone and realized it was a little after 2. I only had to risk sun poisoning for one more hour, and then we'd head out. Thank God for that. Allie lifted up her binoculars to her eyes and pointed them directly toward the Yankees' dugout.
I really hope Crew's publicist will follow through next week. An exclusive interview with him would earn me some serious brownie points with Vanessa.
Vanessa is our editor-in-chief at Scoop, and while she's a Miranda Priestly and the Devil Wears Prada kind of badass bitch, I actually really like her. She gave me my start, and since I was hired on as an in-house writer and didn't have to handle her schedule or deal with her complicated morning Starbucks orders, it's pretty easy to overlook her tough-as-nails attitude. Plus, I'm 100% certain she's going to listen to this, and I'd have to have half a brain to say something to the contrary in this forum. Hey there, Vanessa. Love ya. Anyway, back to the stadium. Who is Crew? I asked, because, yeah, I had no clue. He could have been the mascot for all I knew. Allie set her binoculars in her lap and looked at me with a smirk.
Your ability to know literally nothing about popular sports is inconceivable to me.
I just shrugged. Whatever you say, Miss My Family is an Australian Rugby Dynasty. She, of course, laughed at that. Allie was born and raised in Sydney, Australia, and was surrounded by rugby gods from the minute she entered the world. Her father, her brothers, hell, even her Uncle James is a sports commentator on the Australian Sports Channel. I, on the other hand, grew up as a simple New York girl with a veterinarian father and a rarely punctual dance teacher mother. While I had been learning how to pirouette, Allie had probably been busy attending her dad's professional rugby games. The crack of the ball against the bat and the crowd's responding cheers pulled Allie's attention back to the game. Her yells were wild, and the feel of the seat under her ass was a memory. I, however, stayed put in my seat and guzzled from my bottle of water like it held the power to teleport me into an air-conditioned room.
This is their year, she said exuberantly when she sat back down. I really think the Yankees are going to bring the championship back to New York come October.
I snorted. Yankees fans say that every year. Allie gave me the side eye, but the conversation promptly ended when the Yankees announcer prepped the crowd for the infamous kiss cam between batters. Now this was more my speed. Give me couples and awkward strangers finding their way to sucking face any day of the week. I wonder if someone will propose today, I said with a grin, as I watched the camera flitter over the crowd. She scoffed and rolled her eyes. I would have been so pissed if Sam proposed to me in the middle of a Yankees game. Sam and Allie have been together since we both started at Scoop 3 years ago. They were as thick as thieves and had just gotten married about 6 months prior to that day in a private wedding ceremony with just the two of them in the Bahamas. If I'm honest, I'm still a little pissed she didn't invite me to the celebration and sand in the Bahamas, of all places. But in the name of being a bigger person, I'm ready to let it go. Or at the very least, keep it to myself. I didn't know what kind of proposal I preferred, and I still don't. I'm perpetually locked inside the hell of step one, searching for the right man. Equally manic in its quest, the kiss cam moved around the crowd, and both Allie and I watched in amusement. The first victims, an older couple with matching Yankees t-shirts and ball caps. They grinned at one another and offered a little PDA peck. The woman giggled and blushed as her husband proudly waved to the camera. Next up, a mother and father with their blonde pigtailed daughter sitting in between. They made theirs a family affair, and each kissed their daughter's chubby cheeks. They are so cute I could vomit, I said, and Allie laughed. The camera changed directions, moving toward the opposite side of the stadium, and I grabbed my bottle of water and took another drink. It stopped on a gorgeous, early 20-something brunette woman in a tank top that revealed enough cleavage she could have been advertising for a breastfeeding gig. She smiled flirtatiously and winked at the camera before moving her eyes toward the man sitting beside her. The camera followed her lead until both she and her seatmate were on the screen.
What in the bloody hell? Allie muttered. Is that Tiago?
Yep. You guessed it. This is the point in the story where things really go to hell. Convinced I was seeing things, that even Allie was seeing things, I took a closer inventory of the man on the giant screen. Dark, mischievous eyes, sexy, messy hair, strong jaw. Brunette effectively attached to said jaw, working valiantly to swallow his face whole. Tiago. My next breath came at the expense of the bald gentleman in front of me. As it turns out, humans are not amphibious and cannot both drink water and inhale oxygen at the same time. Now, this is one of those times where the necessary F-bombs I mentioned earlier come in, and I don't really think I have to explain why. The bald man was dropping them, I was dropping them, Hell, even Allie was scooping littered fucks off the ground and tossing them back up in a resourceful use of recycling. The crowd oohed and awed at the salacious display, and I choked down unsolicited vomit from its spot in my mouth. All I could do was watch as Tiago kissed the brunette woman like her mouth was the only way for his lungs to get oxygen. 2 days prior, I'd driven him to the airport, and he'd acted like it was the hardest thing he'd ever done when we'd said goodbye. Hell, it had been less than 24 hours since he'd called me to let me know he'd made it safely to Brazil. I wasn't conscious enough to recognize the whole sordid lie immediately, but I sure as hell had my suspicions. I mean, there's something about seeing your ex-boyfriend who you thought was in another country with his tongue down another woman's throat in the middle of a Yankees game that kind of clues you in to the fact that everything is not what it seems. "I'm going to bloody kill him!" Allie shouted and jumped up from her seat.
"Did you seriously just spit fucking water all over me?"
the bald guy angrily questioned with a pointed index finger in my direction. In a matter of seconds, everything had gone tits up and I might as well have been comatose. Tiago wasn't in Brazil. Meanwhile, Allie was in full attack, yelling a mouthful of Aussie-accented profanity back at my drenched and now very irate victim in my honor. And with the Yankees up to bat, the crowd around us was starting to get restless with frustration at not being able to enjoy the game. State of consciousness in question or not, I had to do something, and I had to do it fast, or else Allie might end up leaving the Yankee stadium in handcuffs. I stood up from my seat, grabbed our shit, and with my hand firmly wrapped around my best friend's wrist, I quickly started to guide us toward the aisle. I yelled an apology to Baldy over my shoulder, and he responded with, "I love you," in a thick New York accent. To the untrained ear, it sounds just like, "fuck you," but I know better. I forced Allie into the aisle and all but pushed her up the steps and toward the inside of the stadium before she had the opportunity to turn the Yankees game into her own personal version of Fight Club. When we made it to the shaded security of the passage in front of the concession stand, all of my adrenaline flushed out of my system and my careful composure started to deteriorate. I leaned my back up against a cement wall, out of the way of the crowd, and tried to regain control. My hands were shaking. My knees felt like they would buckle any second, and my heart raced. Apparently, when you see your ex-boyfriend, who is supposed to be in Brazil, kissing another girl on a giant baseball stadium screen that is, in fact, located in the fucking United States of America, even your body's most basic instincts start to break down. "What in the hell, Lucky?" Allie questioned as she paced in front of me. "What in the hell just happened?" I didn't know the answer to her question, but I certainly wanted to find out. "I'm fucking calling him," I muttered, and rummaged through my purse to find my phone. "Do it," Allie cheered me on. "Bloody call that bastard." Looking back on this now, I don't know that Allie was the best person to have by my side in that scenario, but by God, she cheered me on like my own personal Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. With my heart pounding and Allie's overzealous encouragement, I didn't stop to think. I didn't hesitate. I acted. I tapped Tiago's name in my contacts and called the bastard. He answered on the second ring, the prompt asshole.
"Luciana, how are you?"
he asked, his stupid, sexy Brazilian voice a muffled whisper into my ear. I imagined him covering the receiver with his hand in an attempt to hide the sounds of the Yankees crowd in the background. Apparently, he wasn't quick enough to think to use his companion's giant breasts as a soundproof barrier. Even though Allie was bouncing around beside me, urging me to rip Tiago's balls off, which, let's face it, wasn't exactly doable in my current telephonic situation, I took a deep breath and attempted to play it cool. "I'm good," I said, my voice a combination of sugary sweet and phony as fuck. "How's Brazil treating you?"
"It's definitely good to be back home," his voice dropped even lower. "But I do miss you."
I nearly gagged at his words. Apparently, I'm horribly averse to the rich sweetness of a goddamn liar. "You know, I've been thinking," I smarted, really laying on the faux charm. "I have a few weeks of vacation stored up. How about I come visit you?"
Visit me?" he asked, and paused for a long moment. "Like, visit me in Brazil?"
"Of course in Brazil, silly." I faked a giggle. "I mean, where else would I go to visit you?" The phone went silent, so I took it upon myself to continue the line of conversation. "I could book a flight right now," I said, "and it looks like I can be there as early as Saturday."
"Saturday?" he questioned.
Wait, are you looking this up right now?
Clearly, I wasn't actively looking up flights on my phone, but he didn't know that.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?